Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us on the line is Pankaj Bula, who is a regional director of Africa at Checkpoint Software Technologies. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
No problem. Thank you for having me, Howard. All good.
So it's an interesting one because obviously when I've traveled in the past to different parts of Africa, I needed a yellow fever injection. I would get the card. You show it at the airport. As long as you had that, nobody really bothered. But there wasn't the same demand and it wasn't the same seriousness as we're seeing right now. Do you think it's likely that the world is going to ever be able to get together to work out a way to monitor this properly? And if they don't, how's it going to work?
Now, how would they have to? They have to. In fact, it's not a question. It needs to be done. I've traveled a lot as well in Africa. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. You know, many countries, they force you to show a yellow fever certificate. And I recently in May traveled to Nairobi and one needed the COVID certificate or the lab test results from, you know, either MPATH or Lancet. But as we move forward with these travel passes that have been introduced, and I know I've been on a few of these interviews, Howard, and I think some of us South Africans don't really like the word pass, you know.
I get that. We do have an uncomfortable relationship with it, but this isn't the same thing.
No, it isn't. And obviously the UK and the European Union are adopting a certain concept. In Africa, we've seen Ethiopian Airlines and Rwanda Airlines work with ITA, which is the International Air Transport Association. And then there's the African Union Center for Disease Control. They've created something called a Trusted Travel Pass, but it's in a pilot phase. So there's pockets of this taking place. But indeed, the answer to your question, it has to be consistent. And someone or somewhere out there, we need to implement some sort of methodologies or concepts that can be rolled out across the globe.
What's so interesting to me is we give up so much of our data and our personal information to Facebook and Google and everyone else who's tracking our very movements. But the minute you come across something like this, people are going to jump up and say, how dare you ask me to enter my information on a system in order to provide governments with this information. There's going to be a lot of pushback for it.
Yeah, in fact, I was interviewed by ENCA, and my interview got over 5,000. Views, lots of comments, and the comments were primarily around that the people are not comfortable providing the information. But here's the scary thought, Howard. The article we wrote is, I represent a company called Checkpoint, mm-hmm. which is, one of the leading cybersecurity organizations in the world. And we found that the level of fake certificates that have been produced, or rather that people are asking for or paying for, has fivefold from March to May. So this is for fake COVID certificates. And now if we move into the pass phase or the travel pass phase, mm-hmm. that amount will just increase even more. And so people are already providing some level of their information to the dark web or to fraudsters that are giving them fake certificates. So there are already those that are, just trying to cut corners or bypass the system. And then there's the individuals like myself and you that are, maybe extra cautious. We do everything we can to protect our information on the web. But our information sits with many other organizations that have maybe not the best practices in place that could be prone to cyber attacks themselves. So, we'll need to find a balance here. But unfortunately, if we don't address a manner in how we get this information uploaded, shared, trusted and secure, we will have more of these pandemics or different versions of this virus continuously popping up everywhere as people travel without the proper, let's call it controls.
Does the World Health Organization potentially play a role here?
You know, I guess Howard, I'm going to use the politically correct answer.
No, you don't need to. Not on this show. This is not ENCA or wherever you were before. This, yeah. We have real conversations here.
They should be part of it. You know, many large organizations, certainly at the G7 summit, it probably should have been a topic. I know cybersecurity was a topic.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, the meeting of the minds, especially the powerful minds, need to come together. The technology is available. Make no mistake, we're in an age where we can build trusted platforms. We can build collaborative environments, information that can be shared between private, public. Consumers can feel comfortable, but it needs to, someone needs to take the baton around with this.
Yeah. And of course, we're going to be very heavily reliant on technology for this. It can't be a physical card that people carry in their wallets.
The European Union and the UK's pass is a QR code. So I understand as well in your passport, you get a little stamp, right? But as we know, those things can be a little bit old. There are a lot of guys who can plagiarize it. But what they've done is they've created these QR codes. So the QR code then officially says that I've been vaccinated or, you know, I'm obviously immune to the disease. And that information is then scanned at these different airports across Europe. So that's a great tool. And QR codes have been known to be very, very successful. The only challenge though is that whilst we have some of our, you know, friends and family and all of those that are trying to get illegal versions of certificates, there's also illegal QR codes being created out there on the web. And that QR code has malicious code on it. So I'm using the word code twice. But once you've scanned that QR code onto your mobile device, in the background, it's searching for information related to your profile. And lo and behold, you now obviously been indirectly hacked. So it's important to have trusted sources, you know, reputable websites, all of those things as we go through this process.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as we're talking, I see that Business Insider reporting that the Delta variant appears to have tripled to 31% of all U.S. coronavirus cases in as little as 11 days. That, if anything, shows the need to monitor this and for people to have been vaccinated before they travel.
Yeah. Look, it's probably not a nice story, but when I was traveling to Nairobi, there was an individual in front of me that had a printed version of their COVID certificate from MPath or whatever.
Right.
And the lady said, look, I want to see the digital version because there is an app and, you know, you can get it downloaded on. And he wasn't able to shave. So it got a bit loud and eventually he wasn't on the plane, right? But if he had got on, who knows what the reasons
what
were.
What could have happened. Absolutely.
And what could have, but equally, as the virus continues to increase, or in terms of the stats you gave, equally we've seen on the cyber side that level of increase is taking place as well. You know, in Africa, 3 times more cyber attacks than the global average. On a daily basis, we have over 100,000 malicious websites, you know, thousands and thousands of malicious mail floating around. So we are in a almost double pandemic for when I talk to my customers and we really have to come together to get this right.
We do indeed. And that's unfortunately where we leave it. Pankaj Bula, who's a regional director of Africa at Checkpoint Software Technologies.